and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemechek, and we are going to discuss an article that I found in the back of my Legatus magazine, Legatus, LEGATUS.org. Legatus is an organization of Catholic business people to which I belong, and I get this great publication. And there's an article in the back under the column Faith Matters, authored by Father John Ricardo, a priest of the Archdiocese of Detroit, who's the pastor of Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth, Michigan, and is a phenomenal evangelizer, speaker, teacher, pastor. He's really, I think, had quite an impact on people's lives, even in this diocese, without him ever having set foot here. What do you think, Mary Lou? You've heard of Father John Ricardo, right?
I would listen to him on the radio all the time. He is a priest that moves my soul. He is direct. He is easy to listen to. And what he says, it just pierces your soul. I mean, you just want more, because what he's telling you is the truth. And he's not ashamed to put it out there. And he's just wonderful. His topics are great. And, you know, he shares a lot of his real life experiences. And it just, it touches you. It helps you to grow in your faith.
Yeah. And he keeps it real, which is kind
of
nice. You know, he has definitely no pretenses.
No.
You know, he can be quite funny too. And he writes this, this column thinking about making some new goals regarding areas in his life. You know, basically he's talking about a New Year's intentions or resolutions. The new year is a time to begin again. But really, what does that mean? So he references a book that I'm trying to read now, that I'm trying to order now, called by Pat Lencioni's, and it's a book called The Advantage. And so Pat Lencioni is a great force in the Catholic Church today. He has some really wonderful things to say. I would really recommend looking him up. Lencioni, good Italian name. The book called The Advantage. And the main point is, ask ourselves the question, what is the most important thing right now? So, you know, questions in general are helpful, for they serve to clarify things for us. But in this question in particular, it's especially helpful to return to always, what is the most important thing right now? You know, should I be doing, you know, talking about social media, we were talking about the prior show. What's the most important thing right now? Is it for me to go down the rabbit hole of Facebook for 20 minutes and follow all the links to the shopping sites?
Which inundate us, yes.
Yeah, right. Or what is it that really matters? What can I do now that's really going to make a difference going forward in my primary mission? And, you know, what's our primary mission? Our primary mission is to grow in holiness and to go out in mission. To know the Lord, grow in holiness, which means get closer and closer and closer to Him, and go on a mission. My friend Pete Burak with ID916 calls it grow and go. Grow and go. Grow in holiness. Go out in mission. So I would say to me, to my life, that would be what would be the lodestone that carries me always back to the most important thing.
Exactly.
So, right?
Yep,
so
that's right.
So another way to think of this question is, if I could only do one thing over the course of the next 6 months, what would that thing be?
I'm glad he put it in the 6 months instead of 12 months. I think it's a little bit easier to take smaller bites, don't you?
Well, I think daily. I think, what's the most important thing I can do today? You know,
right.
I mean, I'm getting to
don't worry about tomorrow. Forget about yesterday. What can I do today?
Yeah, because in the end, we live in the present, you know.
Exactly.
And in the future, it's so, especially the society that we live in, it's everybody has a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan. And where do you see yourself in 20 years? And what are you going to do? You know, but in the end, we're all in God's hands. None of us even know if we have the next 5 years. None of us know if we have the next hour.
That's right.
So what is the most important thing? The most important thing is to turn to the Lord constantly. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you in the next hour? How can I serve the people that you have put next to me, that you have put over me, that you have put under me, that you have put alongside me? How can I serve the milieu, the environment in which I am. I mean, in the end, that's, if we were to try and bring ourselves continuously back to the most important thing, we could just break up every hour of every day. You know, how do we stay in touch with the Lord? Well, we pray daily. So what does that look like? I mean, you know, if you want to go back to the most important things, you know, get yourself in spiritual shape. Reach out to the Lord first thing in the morning before your feet hit the floor. Right? That morning offering. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, help me get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And then once you're out of bed, Lord, help me take that first step. Lord, help me to order my day. What it is that is important. What it is that's not important.
To do your will and not miss any opportunity that you allow for me to do something for you.
And also pray for opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, pray, Lord, please, you know, bring to me the person that I need to witness to, or the person that I need to help or comfort or console. I don't know what's this is what's been happening to me recently. In my prayer time, I'll read from scripture and some passage will really impress itself upon me. For instance, the other day, Psalm 20. Just jumped out off the page to me. And we were going to go and visit a mutual friend of ours who is laid up with a broken leg. And as we were praying with her, Psalm 20 came back. But it came back because I'd already become familiar with it that morning in prayer, and it really impressed itself on me. And so I see that almost as an extension of the charism of the word of knowledge or prophecy, you know, where, mm-hmm. where the Lord wants to impress something on your heart for somebody else.
Exactly.
Right? So that is, I think, the way that we could just perceive of our life. We pray for our own sake and to grow closer for the Lord, but the Lord oftentimes instructs us and gives us stuff in prayer for other people, which if we were not in prayer, we would be missing completely. Which
well,
is
you
not,
know,
right.
I can testify to the fruit of that because I saw her the next day and was made aware of your visit. And
really?
Yes. So I can tell you that it brought a lot of joy to this person. It was, you know, and it was something that you were supposed to do. It was, you know, it was a lovely gesture and something that was a blessed event for her.
Right. Well, see, you know, and in the end, what's my point? Stay connected to the Lord. So what are the most important things to keep in mind during the day? So let's say we're going to chop this up not in 6 months portions, but in daily portions. What should I get in every day? Well, I should get my prayer time in. What does my prayer time look like? Well, if I don't have a lot of time, I should do a morning prayer. Maybe I could do an evening prayer. Maybe I could pray before going to bed. Maybe I can spend some time in adoration. Maybe I can go to Mass. It doesn't have to be this huge chunk of time. It can be distributed during the day, but it needs to be with intention, right? The most important thing is communicating with the Lord.
It's making that commitment and not being afraid of it.
Exactly. And that's, I think, knowing that those are the words of eternal life. Those are the words of eternal life. And those are the words for us, and they're words for those around us. So that's one of the main components of my life. The next component of my life is stay active. You know, if you have an opportunity, go to the gym, work out, take a walk, whatever. But take care of your earthly temple. Take care of your body, especially as you get older. I think that's, I don't know what I would do. I work out 5 or 6 days a week because I have to. You know, and because God in his mercy has given me the time that I'd be able to do that. But unless I have, those are two things that I learned in college when I was under headship, when I was under spiritual direction. I would go to my spiritual head, and they would always make sure that my life was in balance. They always wanted to see that I had a prayer time scheduled and that I had a physical exercise time schedule. Or some form of that kind of thing. And if I could just get those two things in, then it just makes me a better servant for those around me. And because I'm obviously hearing the Lord in prayer and I'm balancing myself out and I'm going for, you know, spending time with the beloved, but also because physically I am trying to be the most optimal that I can possibly be. Does that make sense?
it does make sense. And you feel better when you exercise and do things and eat well and, you know, manage your time well with your rest and with your work and everything else. And I can tell you, having just experienced something where I am not able to exercise at this moment in time, it's awful. It makes my whole body feel terrible, but hopefully within the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to once again. But I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think that makes your mind clear when you exercise. It helps.
Oh, it really does. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do most of what I do, I think, you know, barring the Lord and a miraculous infusion of strength, if I didn't keep those two things in balance. So Father John in his article says the questions can also be used at work. Like, what is the most important thing here at work? What is the most important thing in my marriage? What is the most important thing in my family life? What is the most important thing in my ministry or my personal life as a disciple of Jesus? So the title of the article is Fruitful Discipleship. Because in the end, we're supposed to be disciples. I think most Catholics, when they hear the word disciple, they think about, you know, who? The 12 apostles, right? Or they think about people in the Bible, right? Or maybe some great saint. And they don't really think of themselves in terms of disciple, right?
Right.
But really, that's our primary identity. Our primary identity is being learners and livers with the master, which is what a disciple is. A disciple lives and learns with his master or her master. And that the ancient model, the Talmidim model or the Mathetes model was in the Bible is, or also just in ancient times, was you went and you lived with the master. You lived in their house. You followed them around. You saw how they lived, not only when they were teaching, but in everyday life.
And when they were teaching, they were sitting down and you were sitting at their feet learning, mm-hmm. which reminds me of a mother and child or something. You know, it's just a very family-oriented approach to teaching.
Uh-huh, exactly. And so how does that translate in our lives? How can we be better or rather more fruitful disciples? So perhaps for some of us, the answer to the question, what is the most important thing, is to finally make a commitment to do what we just were talking about. Set time each date to pray. And praying means not squeezing God in at stoplights. Although that's important too. You know, I say most of my rosaries in the car. Or maybe even when I'm working out, or when, if my mind is free and I'm not going to fall down and injure myself, I always try to go back and say a rosary or to pray, you know? But I would submit that perhaps some of the more fruitful times are when you just are praying, like when you go in adoration or when you stop your daily routine and you bow your head at your desk or at the kitchen counter or at work and you communicate with the Lord, you know? And there's another piece of that puzzle, and that would be yourself in the path of inspiration. So watch interviews with great people who are disciples of the Lord. Listen to podcasts, you know, listen to the great opportunities that we have to listen to Ave Maria Radio, EWTN, or Relevant Radio, or anything like that. Father John Ricardo himself has a podcast. He's on Ave Maria Radio. Bishop Robert Barham is on Word on Fire, which is its own channel. What I'm saying is, read books, read testimonies, read, mm-hmm. put yourself in the way of grace. Don't just only consume the articles or the books or, you know, whatever that are only secular. I mean, put yourself in the way of inspiration. Go to conferences, go to a Bible study, be part of a small group. Don't isolate yourself, because that is usually the best way to grow in holiness, because you can't grow in holiness unless you have a community around you to teach you patience. And you can't grow in holiness. I mean, you know, that's the third, the great forgotten piece, I think, of Christian discipleship. Everybody wants to grow in holiness, those who know about it. And most people understand what mission is, or they at least think about it. But not too many people especially American Catholics, they still have that Lone Ranger approach whereby it's just me and Jesus and I can just do this all by myself. But in fact, holiness really occurs when iron sharpens iron, to use a biblical phrase. It happens when there's conflict. You know, St. Benedict used to say, and he wrote the book literally on living in community, his rule, right?
Right.
That the saint maker, the people who bother you, the people who upset you, the people who make you angry are the saint makers. He calls them saint makers. They're the ones who live next to you. Like one famous speaker used to say, your hair shirt might be sitting right next to you. You know, right?
Right.
There's plenty of opportunities to do what Therese did, the little flower, which is, each moment of every day is offered up in service. Even the small things, even the irritations, but even the big things. It has to be all three elements: growing in holiness, in the power of the Holy Spirit, being instructed, have regular prayer times, go out in mission, reach out to the world, but then also live in community. Another way to put it is, if you look at a triangle, you go up, you go in between other disciples, you go up, you go in, but then you have to go out. So there should be an arrow pointing up to God. There should be another arrow pointing down to ourselves. And then there should be an arrow pointing outside to the people that the Lord brings us in touch. What is that? Does that make sense to you?
It does. And when you're talking about discipleship, you're going out, as you said, you're going out and you're doing something for others, you're in these groups, you're in Bible study, whatever it may be. What happens is, when you are trying to feed others, it's you who are fed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to reap so many fruits by going out to share the good news with others. And that's what's so remarkable. It's like, I didn't do anything, but boy, even though you did, you walk away feeling so much more joy, knowing that experience of Bible study or whatever it may be, it has pierced you to the point where it stays with you. It's not going to leave you. That relationship with the Lord becomes deeper and deeper and more important, and it becomes the focal point of your life. And that's where we want to focus. It's an easy formula, but it's difficult for us to continually do, because we have free will, and we have to keep saying, yes, we're going to go out and do this, or yes, we're going to participate in this, or yes, we're going to read those books, we're going to delve into our faith more deeper, or we're going to go to Facebook and go to CWBS and see what wonderful articles may be there that might help me grow in my faith, or make me recognize something that I need to correct or do, or whatever it may be. There's just so much out there. That's the one thing I can say about the world today. There's so many good speakers and books and ways and opportunities to grow in holiness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when we first started doing Catholic with Bible study, when I first started reading and researching and that kind of stuff, when there was limited stuff online and to download it, you wanted just to kill yourself because it took forever and it kept freezing.
Yes.
I remember those old days. Now, the opportunities just to learn about, I don't know, you hear about an apparition, right, happening somewhere mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere, and you can actually go and Google it and something will pop up. How inspiring is that?
Well, you know, whenever we find good articles or something, we're constantly sending them back to each other, to other people. We have to share that. We can't keep it to ourselves. So it's a process, but it's a wonderful process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. So this is what Father John Ricardo suggests. He says, obviously, you know, spend that time just with Jesus. Wait, he calls it wasting time, in which you have nothing else set aside. And, you know, I've heard him say otherwise and elsewhere, and also I agree with him very much so, that when you finally do get to adoration, a lot of people get to adoration and they read, which is fine, I suppose. They have their spiritual reading. A lot of people do Bible study. I see them in adoration, and that's great. But a good portion of that time should be spent not doing anything but listening. and praising the Lord and dialoguing with him, mm-hmm. and perhaps journaling, because there's a way in which we can make adoration that 1 hour or that half hour or whatever we set aside to be with the Lord and waste time. You know, we're so agenda driven that we can go in adoration. We could say, okay, the first 15 minutes, I'm going to do my rosary. Then I'm going to do my chaplet. Then I'm going to read my Bible. Then I'm going to do my homework. Then I'm going to read this wonderful spiritual book. And then I'm going to leave. Right? Yes. And I see that happen. I see that happen a lot. And I understand, because I too kind of have to wrestle with myself just to stay quiet and just to stay there and listen and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Remember, you were there when Sister Ann Shields gave that talk when she said, actually, listen to the Lord. And if you are getting antsy, set a timer. Mm-hmm. You know, set a timer on your phone, 5 minutes, just give them to the Lord. Stay your mind on him and see what comes up. And very often, Damien Stain is a Catholic evangelist who in his school of charisms does a school of prophecy, actually does an exercise where he pairs people together who may be new in the gift. And he just has them pray over each other for 5 minutes and then just kind of prophesy or kind of speak to one another the words that they hear the Lord saying for one another. And the average of applicability, like basically what I'm saying is these people who think that they have nothing to say, that they can't hear the Lord, when they speak over each other and they actually seek the Lord, it was like something astounding, like only one out of 15 people did not think the word they received was something that was right, spot on for their lives. You know, which means that the Lord is a lot more accessible and a lot more approachable than you think. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are right there. You just have to unwrap them and use them.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely. So that's daily prayer. Attend Mass if you can more than once a week, maybe daily, monthly confession. Pray the rosary every day. Pray the chaplet. I, for one, know that no matter what else happens, I always try to pray my rosary every day and to pray the chaplet. St. Teresa of Avila said that even when you can't pray in other ways, if you can just get your rosary in, it's going to keep you soft. It's not going to make you hard, you know? It's going to keep you still receptive to the Lord until you can get back to a regular time of prayer. And maybe for more than a few of us, it would be to commit to ponder over a word of God in a deliberate and intentional way, which would mean to reflect over the Gospels or to go to an app with the reading of the day or whatever. You know, so, you know, the point is this: 2018 can be a year of renewed purpose. You know, even if your purpose is different than maybe the last year, in the end, the purpose is always the same. I think that's his point. Grow in holiness and go out in mission. Jesus calls us not simply to be faithful disciples, but to be fruitful.
Exactly.
And a lot of Catholics don't think this way, right?
They don't.
When
they're
they actually
the point.
Understand the word, they say, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, faithfulness, getting my life finally under the Lord through Jesus, is, I'll do that one day. But actually, we're called to be conformed to Jesus right now so that then we can do the second step, be fruitful. Being a disciple is not the end game. It's not the end result. It's just a means. So
right.
It can't just be, you know, like make me a saint just not now. But the idea is make me a saint now so that then I can go out in mission. Right? So Jesus called the disciples and you and me to bear fruit, John 15, 1 through 10, and to go out and make disciples. It's not just the task of the clergy. It's the task of every friend of Jesus. So this is what Father John encourages us to say and to ask ourselves and of the Lord in the next coming year. Who are you calling me to share my life with in the year ahead, Jesus? Who are you inviting me to walk with in a deliberate way, to mentor and to disciple? You know how many people respect and look up to you. This is a gift that God has given you. He has placed you on a lampstand so as to shine with his light and to bring them into a life-changing encounter with the only one who can satisfy the desire of every human heart. May the year ahead be one filled with renewed purpose and abundant fruit. To which we can only say what?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us.